It's a hot one today. Everyone's staying cool? Yes, good. And it's actually pretty cool in here, which is nice. So we're going to get started. And are you on your... So today's topic is witnessing without fear. So, and I'm excited that today we've got Pastor Adam Bialy. He's going to be pastoring starting mid-August at Central Church. So, and previous to that, he's been doing Bible work. So he worked at Stettler, helping Randy Barber with the campaign there. And before that, boy, let's see, Edmonton with a campaign, Calgary as well, or Drumheller and Hannah, yes. And before that, he came to Change School of Evangelism. And before that, I know I met him through TED. Well, actually, no, I met you when you came here for Personal Ministries conference. Yeah, that was the first time. And I did not know that my husband knew you, so who would be my husband? Yeah. So it's amazing how God works. But today I know that you'll be especially blessed because Adam has amazing experiences in witnessing. I know you've heard from me already, and so it's wonderful to hear from different people, right? And see how they witness to others and how they reach others for God. And I know today you'll be very blessed. And so before we begin, we'll just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a faithful God, for the way that you call us, for the way that you love us. And Lord, I just pray that you would empower us, and even as Adam speaks, that you would speak through him to us, and that the Holy Spirit will have control, and that, Lord, you would empower us for the work even after we leave this place. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That child can scream. Thank you for those who are praying for the good weather. I really appreciate that. I know when I first got here, I came to check the trailer, and the hail had come and destroyed the roof vents. So every situation that you need to learn something is an opportunity. So now I know how to fix them. So praise the God for that. So thank you for the prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I was going to... Here we go. Just give this a quick check. The big button. Okay, I'm back. So, I titled this one Working the Fields, though the topic that we're supposed to talk about is witnessing without fear. It's kind of, they all kind of come together. So, I wanted to share with you this, and I want to ask you guys, what's the title of the camp meeting? Do you guys remember? We believe the time is
near.
So, we're going to talk about time and what we're supposed to do with that time. So, Ephesians 5. 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." How valuable is time? Well, if you want to know how valuable time is, ask the student that just flunked grade 10 and has to redo it. Full year. If you want to know the value of a month, ask a mother who's had a premature baby. If you want to know the value of a week, ask a grandmother who's dying of cancer, waiting to see her grandkids come to visit. If you want to know the value of a day, ask that camper who walked into the bushes and hasn't had food for a number of days and waiting for a helicopter to pick them up. If you want to know the value of an hour, ask the daughter who's waiting for their dad to come home from serving overseas and they just can't wait to see each other. You want to know the value of a minute? Ask that person that just missed the bus. You want to know the value of a second? Just ask the person who pulled in front of this person at that intersection. And there's no Leaf fans here that I can make fun of. And if you want to know the value of a hundredth of a second, ask the goaltender who just missed this shot. Time is valuable. We're only given so much time. We're told that there's 3,600 seconds in a day, 86,400 seconds in a day, 2,592 seconds in a month, and 31,556,926 seconds in a year. So we're all allotted a certain amount of time. We don't know how much we're given, but what we do with it is important, because time is something that doesn't have a resurrection. And God has given us a commission, and that commission is to go, therefore, baptizing, teaching, you know, sharing the gospel with people. Now, something that had changed my life, Ted took the time, Sandra's husband, to study with me back in 2012, and I was baptized. And during that time, you know, he had two churches and he was busy, and he had some really good elders at that church as well. And what they did, instead of taking me to, you know, different websites that are critical of the church, or some doctrines that they're made up, you know, all these different ideas, they just invested in some time with me in reading the book Steps to Christ. And I was able to build that foundation. So a lot of times when we're doing evangelism, we just kind of want to find someone, baptize them, and just get on to the next person. But sometimes we have to actually help them dig in and get to know Jesus more personally. So that really changed my life. Now, when we look at, let me take this out of here, a few verses here. You want to be wise? Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." 4 Testimonies, page 53 says, "To save souls should be the life work of everyone who professes Christ." And in Gospel Workers 5:09, paragraph 1 says, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Give me power to win souls to Christ." So if we want to be soul winners, we need Christ living within, the hope of glory, and God will give us wisdom on how to actually reach other people for Him. I've learned something, that the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered. Anything that I need to share, I need to make sure that I'm being filled up in the morning with God. The Bible says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me." And so if I'm not connected to God, it's going to be hard to actually give the experiences that I'm having with God. I've learned that in the mornings, the very devotionals and the very things that I am studying, God is actually lining up conversations, so not only that I'll be able to learn more, but people sometimes need to be fed the very things that I'm reading. So our devotions sometimes aren't even about ourselves, they're actually about other people. So the more time we spend, the more we behold, the more we will be changed. So, a quick tip on witnessing without fear. Has anyone ever heard of this app for their phone, Scripture Typer? Now, I was taught this lesson, and I think this is an amazing lesson. I have on the right side just some, you can make different categories of what things that you want to learn. And say, there's obviously different doctrines that we have that are completely biblical, but to some other different denominations, they scratch the head and say, "I've never seen it like that before." I've learned that if you will take maybe 5 to 7 verses that deal with some of the different doctrines, and you memorize them, you can do a Bible study even if you leave your Bible in the car. So when it comes to the Sabbath, you know, you can learn Exodus 20, 8 through 11. And then you can also go to Luke 4, 16, where it talks about Jesus who was in the temple. So if you have 5 or 6 different verses dealing with each topic, you have a kind of a built-in Bible study up here, and a tool that'll help you do it. You don't need a phone app. You can actually just go onto the computer. If you have internet access, you can log in every day. And for those who are competitive and they want to challenge their friends, they can say, "Okay, Sandra, I'm memorizing 3 verses this week." And she says, "Well, that's too bad, because I'm memorizing 7. You know, and it'll actually tell you how many times, how many verses that you've done. And it's a good friendly competition to not only encourage each other, but to keep each other accountable. And as it was mentioned the other day, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. This is the best investment you can make. The more you put in, the more the Holy Spirit can pull out. Okay, education. I'm kind of building a foundation here, because we need to spend time with God before we witness. It's so key. We have to let God prepare the way. It says, "The study of the Bible demands our most diligent effort and persevering thought, as the miner digs for the golden treasure in the earth, so earnestly, persistently, we must seek for the treasure of God's Word." Now, I love this part, because when I started reading the Bible, I would be like, okay, I have to read like 5 chapters a day and I have to get through the Bible in a certain amount of time. And God bless you if you want to read the whole Bible in 6 months or in 3 months or a year. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. However, if you're like me and you're like, I would rather just chip away and understand that verse. Does anyone know who Pavel Goya is? Ever heard of him? He's like a prayer warrior. He came to Edmonton and he pulled out this quote and I wrote it down. I'm like, this is going to change the way I look at the Bible. A lot of times we think, okay, we need to get through so much scripture, but he has done this method, and he says he does 2 verses in the morning, and he memorizes them, and he has them. So what's more valuable, being able to read 5 chapters and kind of give you a brief overview of what it was talking about, or at the end of that study session, have 2 verses that you'll remember? I don't know about you, but I think the 2 verses are more valuable. In daily study, let the verse-by-verse method is often most helpful. Let the student take one verse and concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put into that verse for him, and then dwell upon the thought until it becomes his own, or her own. One passage thus studied until its significance is clear has more value than the perusal of many chapters with no definite purpose in view and no positive instruction gained. So, chip away. There's someone, a speaker that I really enjoy, and every time he preaches, he has his Bible, but he never opens it because he's memorized pretty much the whole New Testament. And like, how did you do that? And he says, well, I started in John 1 verse 1, and then I went John 1 verse 2, and then I went John 1 verse 3. And so he would just literally memorize chapters 1 verse at a time. And it's amazing what God will do and the divine appointments he'll give you when you put those in your mind. Now, some tool belt. The tool belt you want to put on in the morning. You're going to need Romans 5:5, an increased love for souls. Let's go there if you have your Bibles. Romans 5:5, what does it say? Romans 5:5. If we are in need of love for people, and there's someone that you've come across in your life that you have a tough time loving, you put your finger on this verse, Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit who is given unto us. So we need the love given by the Holy Spirit. Another tool in the belt, a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. Even we should keep asking. You have not because you ask not. In Steps to Christ, page 70 says, each morning consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to him to be carried out or given up, as his providence shall indicate. Now, you ever had a to-do list that you make the night before and you're like, I'm going to go there, I'm going to visit this person, and you're like, these are my plans for the week and this is what I'm doing, and all of a sudden you get like a text message from someone you haven't heard from a while, or you get a call randomly. Sometimes that's a way of God saying, you know, the plans that you had for that day, I've got something better planned for you. I know Sandra had mentioned there was times when she had problems with her car, but over time she learned that these were divine appointments that she was meant to have. And so when you realize that when things don't go the way that you actually want, and you feel like you're behind the eight ball, as it were, a lot of times it's because God has another plan for you. And the other one is to pray the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6 verse 10. 6:10 to 18. When I was in the Change School, I remember a bunch of the students, we memorized these 8 to 10 verses because we realized that we need the whole armor of God when we're out there, when we're sharing things, the truths of these days with people. Truths of these days with people. Another secret to success. Gospel Workers 65:2. It says, how many of our young men will enter the service of God, not to be served, but to serve? In times past, there were those who fastened their minds upon one soul after another, saying, Lord, help me to save this soul. But now such instances are rare. How many act as if they realize the peril of sinners? How many take those whom they know to be in peril, presenting them to God in prayer and supplicating him to save them? So, you know, I know sometimes some people's prayer lists are like the dictionary, and they've got 1,000 people, and praise the Lord if you've got that. And you, between you and God, you'll know what works best for your prayer life. Some, you know, Jesus focused on 12 people. And he was always praying for people as he was continuing to grow. But for example, if you're going out, the Bible ideally tells us 2x2 is the best. You know, maybe you're looking for someone to go with you. If you're trying to follow God's will, I guarantee you he's going to make something happen. He's going to find that right person to go with you. Or there's someone you've been working with that you really want to see to come to Christ. I tell you, there's been people that have prayed for years and years and years and years and years. You know about Mueller, the gentleman in England in the early 1800s, 1900s? Interesting thing about him is he had a prayer journal, and every time he would pray, he would write it down in this journal, and he was praying for people sometimes for 20-some years. And what was so interesting was there was a couple people's names that had not come to Christ. And, you know, because he was such a famous guy, you know, his books would be saved and they'd be put in very special places in churches and things like that. And one day they were visiting, someone was visiting the church, and someone whom Peter knew had come to Christ literally like 10 years after he died. And so all every name that he'd asked that had come to Christ, eventually God had led that person. And so the persistency and the specificity of just continually praying for people, God will open doors. More depends upon consecrated activity and perseverance than all the genius and book learning. All the talents and ability given to human agents, if unused, are of little value. So God loves when people are highly educated. He uses everything, all the skills that Moses had. He had all the Egyptian training, and God was able to use a little bit of that for discipline. Yet, he's saying, you know, if you have the opportunity to learn, go learn. What he's really looking for is to be persevering and consecrated. And if you're both a genius and book learning, that's just a double whammy. Now, I don't know about you, but anyone here love berries? Yeah? Have you ever, anyone allergic to berries? Because we'll have to pray for you after this, if that's the case. I live in Lacombe right now, and there's Saskatoon berries, and they're like, you almost need a stick like they did in the Book of Numbers to hold them. They're so heavy, they're getting big. And I remember Sean Boonstra had shared some information with me a while ago while he was presenting, and it just was a paradigm shift. He pulled something out of the Spirit of Prophecy, and he says, our witnessing should be a lot like berry picking. Have you ever gone berry picking and there's other people that are picking berries? And you're like, oh, they're getting the ones that I wanted. But do you ever see someone go by a berry that isn't ripe, say like the ones on the top, and then shake the bush until it becomes ripe? No, that wouldn't make any sense. They just continue on to the next one, right? You look for ripe berries, right? A lot of times, all you have to do is lift a little bit, and there's a whole bunch hiding underneath. Same with looking for people for Jesus. We're looking for interested hearers. We don't need to go and get into debates with atheists all the time. You know, there's people that are called to defend the faith, but a lot of times we're looking for low-hanging fruit, right? It's not our job to ripen people. We're looking for the people who are interested hearers. It takes a lot of pressure off ourselves, right? We're looking for people who want to hear the message God has been preparing. So let's find a Bible study. Where do you find a Bible study? Follow up, contact some church members. Every time I would go to Bible work, the first question I would ask is like, you know, who are some people that have visited the church? Are there some people that have stopped coming? Do you have any family members? You know, you want to try to be as casual and tactful as possible, but starting closest to you, some people that maybe you know that go to another church that are willing to study. The gym community center, found a lot of people when I was working in Drumheller there that, you know, you just start talking to the people that work there. I remember there was a guy, he said, I was waiting to have a Bible study at like 1:30 in the afternoon, and the guy didn't show up. And there was a guy just kind of standing around waiting for someone, and the guy he was waiting for didn't show up. So we just started talking. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm waiting for my friend. I'm like, me too. What are you here for? I'm here to study the Bible. He's like, I'd do that. And we started studying the Bible, and he ended up studying with the pastor. And, you know, I don't know if he ever made a full decision, but, you know, Pastor Ralph had continued to work with him. So, you know, just being in places where people are. Follow-ups, as we mentioned. There's times where, you know, gas station attendants, you know, you always get your gas. I found that there was people that I would always get my gas from, and then I would just start talking to them and leave a tract with them. And next thing you know, they wanted to study the Bible. They would be kind of like, when you're filling gas, they'd say, where's my next lesson study? You know? So you want to build rapport with anyone that you have a consistent relationship with. Door-to-door health surveys. I touched a little bit on that the other day. Again, the question that I would usually ask is, what aspect of health is the most important to you, mental, physical, or spiritual? And that way they're able to just kind of tell you what they're interested in. If they say, I'm into mental and physical health, I'm not going to try to cram spiritual health down their throat at that time. That's just not wise or tactful. And I think you really have to pray it up, and you have to be really firm in what you believe. But if you've been studying your Bible consistently and you're comfortable enough and God's leading you, sometimes it's okay to talk to people who are in other, you know, denominations and say, hey, you guys having a small group study? And it's okay to make friends with them and things like that. Try to build bridges with them, not go in there the first day and say, hey, guess what day you guys are worshiping on? I was reading my Bible and you guys are going on the wrong day. That'd probably be your last Bible study with them, right? You know, well, you hope that they're starting with salvation in a relationship with Christ, and you can lead into things. I was in Hannah, and there was a young adults group, and there was probably like 20 or 30 of them, and I would go about 4 or 5 times, and then about the 6th or 7th study, they said, hey, Adam, do you want to share something? I'm like, oh, I sure do, actually. And we're able to do like a sanctuary study, and you're able to talk about, you know, a lot of the Adventist truths through the sanctuary. And some of them were like, I've never heard this before. So, and many of them had taken some of them had taken the book, The Great Controversy, and, you know, different things that that we believe, and they've actually shared it with other people. So sometimes things take time, but investing in people is totally worth it. I'm new in town, looking for people to study the Bible with. If you ask someone for a favor, a lot of times people are willing to just help you out. Even if they're being, you know, just nice to you, and they're like, okay, I'll do one. There's a story of a lady who was blind, and she would go to her neighbors and say, hey, I can't read. Would you be willing to do this study with me? And then they would have to read it, and the next thing you know, the neighbors are joining the church. So just asking a simple favor, nothing wrong with that. What's the worst thing that can say? No, just on to a riper berry. Bible study cards. I think these things are great. If the church sends them out, I know they can be kind of expensive. Or if you are into the health message and you want to do a lot of walking, you know, putting these in mailboxes and putting them in wherever you feel like God is leading you, a lot of times people will respond and say, hey, I want to do a Bible study. And yeah, you'll get to follow up, and the odd time there's the odd prank where someone will say, oh, I'm actually just signing my friend up because I think he'd laugh. But a lot of times there are people who are actually seeking. They have a Bible and they don't know how to read it. This is an experience I had with Sandra. There was a guy who had a Filipino Asian store. I don't know if you remember this, but we did some studies, and I don't know if you can tell, but do you notice what days he's closed now? Saturday, Sunday, right? He used to be open on Saturday, and he had some struggles. He didn't quite understand at first. Actually, now his store, he closed it eventually, but we were studying. This guy was a Catholic man, and as he read about the Sabbath, he decided, you know what? I need to change the hours of my store. Amen? That's a witness. How come I can't get my food on a Saturday, right? And so his decision is a ripple into the community, and people are going to ask why. What's the deal? And so as people see truth and they walk in it, you don't know who's going to be affected. Okay. As I just mentioned, how to get a study, Jesus was at the well, and he just asked a simple question. And not only did he get a study, he had an evangelistic series later that day, because he was able to just ask a simple question tactfully. Don't be afraid to ask. My dad always said, if you don't ask, you don't get. Something he always taught me. However, you can sometimes ask too much and go to the well too often. and people get annoyed of you, but you have to pick your times, pick your spots, and God will bless. Now, people say door-to-door, that's outdated. It doesn't work. Well, in the book Evangelism 4:3-1, it says, house-to-house labor, searching for souls, hunting for lost sheep, is the least essential work that can be done. Is that what it says? No, it's one of the most essential works. And I'm not saying that everyone has to do door-to-door, but I think you'll be blessed if you do. I think there's so many blessings. You don't know how many times, like when I went to Stettler, I was like, I have a month before the evangelistic series, what am I going to do? Well, I have to meet people. And you'd be surprised where you meet people and say, you know, I haven't had anyone visit me in months. You know, I'm so lonely. I've been thinking about and then doing bad things. You know, there's people that are hurting out there. And if you're just willing to just pray with them and you see tears flowing down their eyes, you're like, what if I didn't go door to door today? You know, there's a lot of people that are just hungering to get to know Jesus through you. Medical missionary work is to be regarded as the pioneer work. It is to be the means of breaking down prejudice, as the right arm is to open doors for the gospel message. I had the benefit and the pleasure to do health expos when I lived in Saskatchewan. Actually, Sandra helped out with those as well. And we would rent, the mall would give us a lot in the mall for free. And what we would do is we would take carrots and apples and we would juice. We wouldn't go into the stores, but we'd kind of walk in the middle and we'd offer people juice and we'd say, hey, why don't you guys check out our health expo? And we asked God, we're like, God, we want 200 people. And he sent over 400 people to this expo. And they're getting Bible studies and great controversies and signing up for depression recovery and cooking classes. All because, you know, we didn't say, hey, you need to be saved. Some people will respond like that. But we just, like, there was people that are hurting. They wanted to know about how to lower their blood pressure, you know, how to strengthen their lungs, all these different kinds of things. And it all started with just doing as the Lord's servant had mentioned, medical missionary work. I find that when you're out and you want to study with people, marking up the inside of your Bible is a great idea, because sometimes people might have questions that you don't know. And on the inside, the leaflet, you can actually put, you know, some questions that you sometimes get asked that you might not be comfortable in the moment finding. And I found that was very helpful if you're out and you're sharing the Bible with people. Okay. So this is kind of a review here. Now, if you're going to do evangelism, I guess if you're going to eat, what would you rather eat? Would you rather eat from a crock pot or have a quick microwave meal? Crock pot in the back? Anyone else? Would you rather just throw in a burrito in a microwave real quick? Or would you rather let the flavors simmer and marinate for a little while? I'm that kind of guy too. A lot of times we want to do evangelism like in a microwave. We just want to like find a bunch of people. All right, come to church. And then, you know, in a short amount of time. And you know what? It can work. There's people that have come and they get invited and they stay. However, it's the medical missionary work when you make relationships with people and you're willing to take that time and they just learn about Jesus and they're making friends and they're seeing their lives being changed. That's when it takes time, but it tastes better. Amen? Now, I've been playing basketball with some of the kids down there, and I'll be honest with you, they're in better shape and better basketball players than me, and that's okay. It's not my sport. However, I've learned that simply just playing with people, like I found that when I moved to Drumheller or I was, you know, doing these things, or in Edmonton, I would just play basketball with people, and after you play, you know, just kind of ask them a little bit about themselves, and you'd be, hey man, do you go to church? Actually, I do. Oh, okay, which church do you go to? This person might say they go to a Baptist or a Pentecostal church. Oh, we're having a Bible study. Would you like to come? Sometimes they will say yes. You know, just mingling with people. Maybe basketball is not your thing, but maybe whatever your hobbies are, whatever things that you like to do. For me, I like to run around, and it's been an effective way just to meet people. When it comes to saving souls, there was an interesting story. It happened in the early 1900s, in Ellen White's day, and they were digging a well, and a man was at the bottom, and it caved in. And the whole city, the town at the time, started kind of panicking and freaking out, and the lawyers and the doctors and the mechanics, everyone had come out of their buildings, and they're digging this guy out. They stick a pipe in the ground there and say, "Hey, are you still alive?" And he's like, "Yes, hurry up, I'm dying here." And so they're like, "Hooray, he's still alive." And everyone stopped what they were doing to save this guy, his earthly life. Now, oh boy, the quote didn't come up, but basically what it's saying is that how is it that we value earthly lives so much, but yet when there's so many people walking in darkness, sometimes we can't even be bothered, right? It's like, I don't really want to call that person, or this is going to be out of my comfort zone, right? I've learned that there's been times where someone had wanted to study the Bible, and you're like, wow, someone's asking me to study the Bible, and I'm tired, and I want to answer no, I don't feel like it. And you're like, that's selfishness. Someone needs to hear the Word of God. And I remember being so tired and feeling so out of it, and going to this guy's house, who I've been studying with for a while, and he was one of those friends that, you know, he seemed like one of those friends that every time he needed something, you were the first guy to call. You ever anyone have friends like that? Yeah. Well, you're kind of like, oh man, I don't want to go see this guy. This guy's just going to try to make me take him grocery shopping or something. But he was saying, you know, my wife and I were struggling. We're debating which day to go to church on. I'm convicted it's Saturday and she's saying it's Sunday. So I went over there and we studied the Sabbath together. And I didn't want to go to this study. You know what I mean? I was tired. I didn't want to do it. But when the opportunity presents itself, always jump at it, because you never know what's going to happen. Applying the counsel. This is something that happened in Drumheller. When I got there, I was just came out of evangelism school, didn't have a lot of experience, and I decided to read that book, Evangelism, and just try to get involved in the community. And so there was something called the Full Plate Diet, and we did like healthy cooking classes. And what was interesting is the church was quite small, and it goes up and down from time to time. And there was like these cards of people who had visited the church like years ago, and you're just trying to take all the information that you have, and you just talk to people and say, "Hey, would you like to come to this cooking class?" Well, I invited one lady, and she invited three people herself. I invited one guy, and he brought his wife, and people kept asking, "When are we going to have more cooking classes? When are we going to have more cooking classes?" And all of a sudden, there was a Mormon lady that was coming, and she ended up wanting to read the books, Great Controversy, because they believe that they have the gift of prophecy in their church as well. And so as you're learning about health and you're talking to them, they start opening up about what they believe, right? And God gave all these amazing divine appointments where, you know, this thing started rolling, and we had church members and even get people that were just studying, were helping out with the cooking classes. And all of a sudden now they were putting on the cooking classes. So it just started this cycle of evangelism through health. And I know health doesn't meet everyone's needs at the time, but it's something I've seen in my ministry that has been very successful. We must educate, 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 pleasantly and intelligently. We must preach the truth, pray the truth, and live the truth, bringing it into its gracious, health-giving influences within the reach of those who know it not. As the sick are brought in to touch the life-giver, their faculties of mind and body will be renewed. So when the frontal lobe is open and they've been struggling with health, a lot of times they're open to hearing the truths that they need. Now, outside the box evangelism is what I love. Now, there was a guy named Robert Costa. Does anyone know who Robert Costa? He's like the Spanish It Is Written guy. He came and he did a seminar for the elders in Edmonton. And this guy had so many good ideas. He literally had a booklet of things that they would do for evangelism. Because, yeah, go door to door and give Bible studies, no, it doesn't work for some people. But she does say going door to door, it works. And so what they would do is they would take the youth and they would buy, you know, smoke detectors for a certain street. And they'd say, "Hey, we're the church down the street and we care about your health and we know that once a year you need to change this. So here's a smoke detector." And so the youth would just do these kind of outside the box things. This instance, they noticed that the police officers in this town in Texas, they were struggling with their health, and it seemed like they were really, they had a small force, and they were, yeah, their health was not doing so good, and they were gaining lots of weight. And so the church said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come to the station once a month, and we're going to have a healthy breakfast for you. So once a month, they would come, and they would put a breakfast on for this local police station, and the police officers were like, well, what's tofu? What are you doing? You know, why is this, what's this food? Why does it taste so good? And so they were making, once a month, they would make healthy food for the police officers. And guess what? When they wanted to have evangelistic series and they had issues with parking, who do you think was in their corner? Right? The police, right? So they would think of people in the community that maybe don't get the help or the support that they need, and they would just sponsor them and say, we'll do something once a month for them, right? And you can think of in your community, you know your community better than I do. Think of a group that just might need some help, and then help them, and then see what happens, right? It's amazing what was happening. Other things that would happen, they would do, oh boy, the list goes on and on. Some of the stuff was a little out of my comfort zone, might work better in the States than here, but you know, anything from, you know, inviting people to VBS programs to, you know, just programs that are maybe less spiritual that you would invite anyone to. And so the police brunch was a hit. Something that I had learned from other people who had been converted, and I think even Sandra had shared this story at one point, that a lot of times Adventists or people who love gardening and things like that, they would want to sell their goods to people door to door and say, hey, we got tomatoes and we got green peppers and we got whatever, potatoes. And every time they would buy something, they would say, oh, by the way, with your order comes a free book, right? And then they would give them a Steps to Christ, or, you know, they would share something with them. So it's easier sometimes to give someone cucumbers before it is sometimes a book, right? And so what they were doing was they were just giving vegetables, or selling vegetables, and giving them a book. There was a lady at our church, she was one of the church leaders. The way that her family came into the church was, there were some Adventists that were selling honey. And they would go door to door and have a jar of honey. They'd say, hey, you know, we're selling honey, and here it is. They would buy it, and they'd say, oh, by the way, here's this book, Bible Readings for the Home. We want you to have it. And then the whole family ended up joining the church. So a lot of times we think that we have to push religious stuff immediately. No, that's not how it works. We can a lot of times just, you know, go about our business and include little things of spiritual nuggets along the way. Now, when it comes to finding people that want to study, you know, it's good to start where it says here, the truth that we hold in common should be dwelt upon first, and the confidence of the hearers obtained. So if I'm studying with a Baptist person, am I going to start off with what happens when you die? Probably not, right? I'll probably want to talk about salvation in Christ. I might want to talk about the importance of prayer, Bible study, right? Start at the framework where, you know, with a relationship with Christ. However, there's a story. This is a very interesting quote. This kind of shocked me when I started studying the Bible with people. I don't want it to shock you, but a lot of times when we look for debates with people, there's people that love looking for debates. They just want to argue theology. This is interesting. It says, in debate we meet Satan. Ministers who contend with opposers of the truth of God do not have to meet men merely, but Satan and his host of evil angels. Satan watches for a chance to get the advantage of ministers who are advocating the truth. And when they cease to put their entire trust in God, and their words are not in the spirit and love of Christ, the angels of God cannot strengthen and enlighten them. They leave them in their own strength, and evil angels press in their darkness. For this reason, the opponents of the truth sometimes seem to have the advantage, and discussion does more harm than good. Now, there are times where, yeah, you're studying with someone, and you have to defend the truth. But to have the motive of just kicking down a church door, a prayer meeting, and saying, hey, you guys are doing it wrong, and I'm going to set you guys straight, you know, you're kind of walking on on some dangerous ground. There was someone that did that. Does anyone know who Moses Hall is? Moses Hall. He was one of like, he was a silver tongue orator. This guy was the state of the dead specialist for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He would go into like spiritualistic areas, you know, and people would be converted to understanding what happens when we die. And so Moses Hull got very confident. He became very confident in what he believed, and he started going alone and trying to convert people. And this is what he got into a debate with a spiritualist. And this is what he was writing. It says, "It is true that I held a discussion with a trance speaker, or rather some demon professing to be a spirit, Mr. Downing, speaking through this Jameson guy. It was also true that I went to engage in that discussion without the counsel of my preaching brethren, that I went alone and too much in my own strength in a community where we have no church, but where spiritualism has a strong hold. This I now regard as very imprudent in me. God's Holy Spirit was grieved." So he was, if you look at, say you're just starting to study the Bible and someone wants to study some really deep stuff, it's good to bring a friend with you, you know? I'm not saying, you know, this guy was someone who was confident in what he believed, but he was looking for a fight, right? When we're looking for a Bible study, we're not looking for a fight, we're looking to share Jesus with people, right? So in this situation, you know, he got in such a mess that he actually left the Adventist Church and joined spiritualism. And Ellen White was counseling him and says, "It is life or death for you, Brother Hall. Already I saw a cloud of evil angels surrounding you, and you had perfect ease among them. You have often rushed upon Satan's ground to meet an opponent. You are in Satan's easy chair and do not see your fearful condition and make an effort to escape." So it wasn't so much about winning souls for him, it was about winning arguments, right? And so when we go into Bible studies, it's to win souls, and it's to, our pride has to be, we need to be humble, right? We don't, there's people that are going to believe different things, and if someone just wants to debate and try to get in arguments with you, that's sometimes a barrier that you just want to walk away from sometimes, right? Give that to the pastor, give that to, you know, an elder. Now, what's sad about this is he started something called the Morris Pratt Institute, and it was all about how you could become possessed by demons and stuff like that. So he went from a Adventist preacher to teaching spiritualism. Isn't that sad, right? So friends, the importance about Bible study is that, yeah, it's a supernatural thing. And 2x2 is the best. However, you know, if we go there with the Holy Spirit, knowing that we're just there to share the gospel for this hour, that God's going to bless us and God's going to use us to bring other people to Him. Something that also works quite well, as I'd mentioned the other day, is small group Bible studies. I'm going to talk about a few of these people here. Gentleman here in the front, he's actually D.J. Jacobson's relative. And D.J. had just approached him and told him that there was this Bible, you know, program coming up. He came and he ended up, you know, joining by profession of faith. The lady in the back, she was the dietitian lady I had mentioned, where she was learning about Adventists through the National Geographic magazine and decided, I wanted to know a little bit more about the Bible, and she eventually was baptized as well. The lady in the back here, she came to the Impact series, and again, we found that when we would put them in small groups, that there would be, it seemed like it would just become a small church themselves, and they would be, you know, they would become friends when they'd come to church, they would recognize people, and they really, really never wanted to miss these small groups. The guy in the back on the left, he's from Poland. He had watched some Adventist DVDs, and he's like, I want to be baptized as well. And so we started just plugging people into small groups. And again, this is the kind of Bible studies that we want to do, is where, you know, we build kind of a community, we build trust, we build friendships, and people grow together. Yeah, of course, people would bring things up that weren't part of the lesson and things like that. However, you know, we would try to stay on topic, and because we were faithful, you know, God led a lot of these people to make decisions for him. Amen? So, oh, I didn't know that was there. So, we have, this is the guy that I showed yesterday. He's the guy that has the sleeping disorder I talked about the other day, and he was asleep. We prayed, and God woke him up, like, right before he was going to sleep through his baptism, and he had a sleeping disorder, and God had woke him up, which I thought was really neat. Let's just see here. Some of these... Now, this story here, this is quite touching. This is this was an Anglican priest that was coming... Anglican priest? Yeah, Anglican priest that was coming to the Impact meetings. And, yeah, was he... Do you guys remember him? Yeah. And it was touching. He would come, and he came for the altar call when Jose Rojas was preaching. And then, you know, the series ended, and, you know, one of the Bible workers was following up, and he had passed away in his sleep before he was able to be baptized, right? But God knows the heart. And the beautiful thing about it is that God knows what decisions these people would have made, right? And God's asking us to invest in people. It's the best investment that you can make. You know, the thief on the cross didn't have a chance to be baptized, but he had made his decision for Christ. And a lot of times we don't understand that, you know, we're given a message for such a time as this. We don't realize how valuable the three angels' messages are to people. I know it's changed my life forever. You know, I was struggling with health. God sent the health message. Struggling with what the Bible taught on so many different things, and finally I was able to find the answers to those questions. God wants us to share because we've been called for such a time as this. And the three angels' messages is if you read them in context, after you read the three angels' messages, it mentions that there is the Son of God comes with a sickle and there's a harvest. And when you go to Matthew 13, verse 37 to 39, it talks about the harvest being the end of the world. So the three angels' messages are a message for this time that is leading people to make decisions for him. Because we know as the topic has been for this week, we believe the time is near, and we do know that Jesus is coming soon. The best thing a lot of times you can do is get the young people involved. Young people, I don't know what it is, but when younger people go to the door, especially like younger, like 7 or 8 year olds, they have like a tract in their hand. You can't ever say no to them. You know what I'm saying? Even if it was something I didn't want to read, it's like, oh, you're so cute, I'll take what you have, right? And if you're able to have like, if you have a small child or a grandchild or someone, you know, or a little cute Stephen there, it's amazing how if you bring them with you, people will take what you're willing to give them. These were kids from Fountain View, and they were there for the week. And I found that when they would go out, we would go to the malls. We actually got kicked out of one of them because we weren't supposed to be there. And it was funny because we would just go up to people and we'd give them, and they would see people like respond and saying, God, thanks for this. And so when you see the young people getting excited about evangelism, I don't know, it just does something to me as well. And notice that people love taking things from young people. This guy here, oops, there we go. Okay, my slides are going back and forth here. That's really odd. Just give me a second. This young man here, he came to the Impact thing, and he was of the Sikh religion, and I met him in a library, and I just had my Bible studies with me, and I was just sharing basically what I was doing, and he decided to come to the meetings, and eventually he was baptized, you know, and it was a really powerful experience because, you know, he was leaving the Sikh faith, but he had this, you know, this this tug of war back and forth with his family because he was really close to his family. And, you know, he ended up being baptized, and, you know, I don't know where he is with his walk right now, but, you know, it was a divine appointment at that library because I had the book, The Great Controversy, and I had the Bible studies, and he took them. And he would go door to door with me, you know, just after he was baptized. You know, even before he was baptized, he would volunteer and things like that. So it's amazing. Sometimes some of the people that are the most helpful are the ones that haven't even made decisions yet. And so anyone who's willing to come with you, bring them. Unless they're not tactful at all, you can maybe sometimes give them some time to train and maybe just pray for you while you're going. So pray for Jitinder. You know, he's someone who's heard the truth. I don't know if he's still in the church right now, but the seed has been planted. And I know for me, where I'm from, when it came to someone evangelizing and sharing the good news with me, it was someone that wasn't an Adventist. It was someone that had just seen some things online and had wanted to change my life because I was going in such a downward direction. And so, you know, ask God for those divine appointments. He will give them to you, and He'll use you to win many souls to Him. So I want to thank you for your time. I want to ask if you have any questions at all before we close up. Any questions? Well, yeah, go ahead.
I just have a comment about, I know we had a few Bible studies down in Lethbridge, up from Lethbridge, and my friend Hilda, she had a Bible studies in the library, and
sure.
There was times, because she knows she's well in the Word,
mm-hmm.
and so then there was a group of 10 of us, and these guys, as soon as these other guys would, she would say, okay, I won't be able to make it this weekend, but you guys can still show up at the library and have a Bible study, right?
Sure.
But then there was two guys that would always, as soon as Hilda wasn't there, they're like, oh, well, and then they bring up these other, I don't, you know, different subjects because they're from different denominations, right?
Sure.
So, and then I would always just say, well, instead of, because they just want to argue, right? And I said, mm-hmm. well, how about, well, let's just read, what does it say in the Bible itself, instead of, because they're trying to point out what their church would say, what their church would say. And
right.
I would say, well, let's just study the Word.
Yeah, and I think the biggest challenge I find when studying the Bible with people is their hermeneutics or the way they interpret Scripture, right? That is, we have to let the Bible interpret itself, right? And sometimes when people, they want to study, they want to just take a verse out of context to make it fit their lifestyle or what their church might believe. And so the importance of studying with someone and making that foundation of, okay, we have to understand that if we want to know what happens when we die, well, we can trust the Bible is going to show us, right? It can't be tradition or those kinds of things. But I know there's a lot of times where you have to kind of steer the rig back onto the road because people are trying to take it in their own direction.
Yeah, because then it would get confusing for the other guys that were trying to start, you know, the newcomers that would come there, and they wouldn't know, and they're like, oh,
right.
Now they're getting, then they get confused.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So that's what I always try to do.
Yeah.
How about we just stick with the Word?
Yeah.
And in that way, at least we all know that we're reading the Word instead of trying to, you know, what He says or what He says.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It helped out a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
So what about if, like, instead of, I guess, the more traditional way to somehow
mm-hmm.
sometimes evangelize people, but say, like, you have a friend who's interested and they know what you believe, because you've gradually shared it over time, but not like you've gone over doctrines with them or whatever.
Sure.
And they're interested and they want to say attend church with you, but you've never been able to nail down a date that they have to actually come with you, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's what we're going through right now. And I'm trying to figure out how to make... I don't want to sit down with her and be like, oh, okay, let's study the Bible, but
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to continue to share with her.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any kind of tips or...
Yeah.
Like, do I just try to get her to come to church more or try to study for more first? Like,
you know... Because we're such a, I don't know if this is your experience, but I noticed that like my younger brother and anyone in their 20s or 30s, they seem to be very technologically savvy. And sometimes like a 5 or 6 minute like video, you know, by like Ty Gibson or, you know, like something like that, like Amazing Facts has some really good short 5 minute things and say, you know, hey, I'm watching this, you want to watch it with me? Or, you know, like, hey, you know, you basically, you know, their comfortability, where they're at with things and stuff like that. However, yeah, a lot of times, like, just asking them and saying, you know, I'm going to be studying this. Are you interested in it? Or if you think that's going to make them a little uncomfortable, then, you know, wait for the right time. But I know in my experience, taking the church first before Sabbath school is sometimes a better idea. Just comes because you don't know, you know, sometimes who's going to say what. And sometimes we can be not aware that there's guests and we say things that might be kind of, you know, not as tactful. So, so for example, I have a really good friend named Nathan, who I've been friends with for, you know, 20 some years, and I hope he's hearing this one day. And I've been praying for him for a while, and, you know, when we're driving, we just talk, you know, and I'll just say, hey, you know, I've been having these kinds of questions, and this is where I've been finding some of my answers, you know, because I know if he's coming to me saying, hey, I was always wondering about that, I'll just always try to kind of shift it towards, this is what the Bible says, this isn't what Adam thinks. So, depending where your friend's at, if she has questions and or concerns or fears or hopes, you know, just trying to talk about the thing and then just kind of send it to the Bible and then kind of bring it back to a conversation. It's an art sometimes, but God will give you wisdom. Yeah. Anything else? Any other questions? Yeah, go ahead.
I have a couple of things. One is, you know, I love that Louis Giglio DVD.
Okay. I'm not too familiar with him, but...
And I've shared them. And I kind of explain, well, he doesn't exactly believe about life, what happens after you die.
Sure.
But they're amazing of bringing people to Christ.
Yeah. For sure. You know, it's tough because I remember when I first started studying the Bible, I remember there was this guy named Chuck Missler that I got into, but he was like this dispensational guy, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. And I was like, oh, this is good. And then when I started studying the Bible myself and realizing it interpreted, you know, himself, it interprets itself, that Chuck was off on some things, you know? And I found that I'm like, I can't share him anymore because it's not going to lead them to the three angels' messages. However, I don't know. What do you think, Sandra?
Well, we don't know his past. I've seen his material, yeah. I mean, talking about the stars and galaxies, different things. Sorry?
Or just that it points to a creator.
Yeah, points to a creator. And we don't know his journey, too. We don't know what will happen. And, you know, maybe he will become a believer, and maybe that's what we all have to pray for. But I think for myself, what I always do is pray a lot about what to share with somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I have different things with me in my vehicle, and then just pray, like, what do I give them? And like I shared, you know, in the first few days, you know, sometimes it's like the great controversy, which is not something I really want to share, you know, because I think it's too thick or whatever. But I think having a variety of options and then just going from there, mm-hmm. you know, because God knows the avenues, and it doesn't mean that, you know, God can use one thing to then draw the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean, you know, even just like yourself and you know, who you were, I guess, listening to for a while, until there's greater understanding, and that's okay. I mean, mm-hmm. so... God works. Yeah, God works in different ways. So it is very inspiring. Yeah, and so, yeah, for me, I love seeing with new eyes a book. But then I love, you know, videos. I do like that. I like some of Ty Gibson stuff. I do, you know. So there's different things that we're comfortable with sharing and using, right? You know, when I want people to know the love of God, that's when I'm very big on sharing, you know, Ty Gibson's materials. Really, I really like Gary's materials for that. And, you know, if they need to know, like an atheist or something needs to know about the Creator, yeah, and you've got just beautiful, those videos, things like that are just so appropriate, too.
Yeah, great.
The other thing is, like, I have an 8-year-old neighbor that grew up in the Adventist Church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think, you know, you always hear, don't tell them.
them they know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very intent in his life. He's very nice, you know, great person. So I just don't know there.
Yeah, I was just before Jackie here, I was going to say that I had the experience where you say, oh, this is, I've come across a sermon from a different guy, or I remember hearing a sermon before I was an Adventist, and you're like, oh yeah, that was a good sermon. And then you realize that that guy who said, sometimes has spoken bad about our church, you know, and has called us the C word, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, I wouldn't want them to find that, you know? So because, you know, even though they lifted up God here really well, you know, this is an Adam statement, and I don't know, again, and I really believe that God can still speak through different people, but we're told that Babylon has fallen, right? That great city, right? And sometimes we still want to go through the rubble and see if there's still some good stuff in there when there's so much light, you know, than what we have, you know? We want to find something else, but I'm not saying God can't still, you know, use other people from different denominations, but I'm just like, I want to mine through what we have first, you know? So I know Jackie just had a...
That's okay, no rush.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just going to say that my son lives with me, has been living with me for 12 years, 12 and a half years.
Okay.
He's an adult, he's 35. And he was in church school, he went to CUC, disfellowship, and he says he doesn't belong in my church. And now he's at the point where he doesn't even believe the Bible. You know, how do I deal with that? How do I approach him besides showing him the way I live?
I think sometimes you have to find the source. If it's a scientific issue, if it's a historical issue.
But I can't talk to him.
Okay.
I can't talk to him. I can only witness the way I live, you know.
Yeah.
How I got my husband in church, 17 years. From day one, he said, don't preach to me.
Yeah.
You know, don't even sing a hymn. And after 17 years, I never said a word.
Wait at the end, and I'll talk to you a little bit about at the end over here, and I'll try to answer that.
What about just share a comment for her?
Sure.
You know, something, when dealing with my dad, you know, as I shared on previous day, I just remember a year before he made a decision for baptism, you know, God really began to tell me, Sandra, pray the full armor of God upon him. You know, pray the armor of God. And, like, I just pray within, without, like, you know, just claiming the armor. And I could begin to see a shift in his mindset. You know what I mean? Because he was really indoctrinated from 12 years old in the seminary to become a priest. You know, he was very indoctrinated into the Catholic theology. And for that to shift, only God. You know what I mean? Only God. Because it was like there were these blocks. Like, we could have talks, but it was like he didn't get it. Like, there, you could just see these barriers, and I'm like, Lord, how? You know, and all God said was armor of God. Just pray it over him. And you'll begin to see, and I saw within a year what a shift just began to happen. You know, in the mind. You know what I mean? And I just always said, Lord, speak to the nucleus of his being. Speak truth into the nucleus of his being. You know, and God began to do it. So silently in prayer and the armor of God, I can't say enough about, you know, and through different circumstances, and that just being one. When you can't, you know, because sometimes you cannot win an argument, you cannot share truth because they really don't see it. Like, there are times that they are blinded, really blinded. And so only God can, you know.
He knows better than I do. There are times when he'd say, oh, what will you? I say what you're doing, you know. So he's watching me. Like,
right.
Well, he was a school pastor from grade 12, so he knows. He knows. He's smart, too. Anyway,
yeah. No, that's okay. There was a question over here.
I was just going to make a suggestion. Sometimes we have to be grounded in what we believe and read the Bible for ourselves.
Sure.
Because when we're sharing, we have to be, you know, sure, because there are Seventh-day Adventist bright lights who has gone out of the church.
It's true.
And preaching something and preaching against the church.
Right.
So, and they preach because there's one on the online that preaches wonderful sermons, but if you listen to his sermon, you know, there's this one guy, and from, he was a seminary been a teacher. He was a teen seminary. Mm-hmm. And now he is preaching that the Sabbath isn't really a Sabbath.
Mm.
You see, so you have people who... And they have followers, so you have to be careful. If
yeah.
you know what you believe, if you
right.
know what you believe, then these sermons and all these things...
That's true.
You open your eyes to.
That's very true. Thank you for that. Well, I just want to just thank you for your time. If there's any other questions, I know that I've given you the kind of the framework. You need to spend time with God. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to invest in those things. And literally looking for souls like lost sheep, God says He's going to bless us. And when we're looking for Bible studies, we don't want to get into looking for arguments, right? We want to look for studies, right? Not arguments. And that way God can just keep us humble and that He will speak through us. And the best thing about giving studies, you guys, is this, is that when you give them, it reinforces the study not only to them, but to you. And so it's like you're getting the study as well. And if you've gone through those studies, man, it's so good. And you remember how many verses should you memorize? Well, two a day, right? Two a day if you can, or one a day, or read one or two verses at a time if you're studying. But with the Scripture Typer app, if you get that, you know, maybe you want to know, give a Sabbath study without your Bible, because God's going to put it up here. Yeah, get about 5 to 7 verses that deal with that subject, and then you can give a Bible study anywhere, even if your Bible isn't there. So.
Are you saying an app or something?
And yeah, there's an app for it, or you can just... there's a program online as well that you can get. It's called Scriptured.
D.R. Spears is the only person that I know that knows the Bible.